Good morning to everyone. You are welcome to one more presentation of the CPFL Energy Group. We're going to talk about the third quarter 22. I'm Carlos Cidino, Director of Investor Relations of the group, and I will be the master of ceremonies of our event. We have Gustavo Estrella, our CEO, Mr. Pan, our CFO, and other executives of the company. The presentation will be done in Portuguese with interpretation to English. Click on the interpretation button that shows up at the bottom of the platform. If you want to see the presentation in England, you will find it at the website. I'd also like to inform all the participants that at the end of the presentation, we will have a session of questions and answers. All the questions will be done live. And all you have to do is click on the button raise hands that is on the bottom part of the platform. This event is being recorded. Now I give the floor to Mr. Gustavo Estrella to begin the presentation of the results. Thank you, Cidino. Good morning to everyone. I'm very happy to be once more in this call. I'm going to start in slide 3 with the highlights. It's our EBITDA with a growth of 14.3%, reaching 2 million, a growth which is a continuous growth, very robust in one more trimester. Our net income is 1,419 with a decrease of 1.2%. Already affected by the interest rate increase that we had this year compared to 2021. The investments, one more year of record of investments in the group, 1.6 million, an increase of 72.4%, an accumulated of 9 months of all more than 4 million reals of investments, a very important year of investments. This way, we build the growth of the group with the increase of the investments. Our net debt is 22 billion reais, a leveraging of 1.92, the net debt of the EBITDA, reminding you that we have the last installment of the dividends to be paid at the end of this year. One important thing that we have is a decrease of 43.3% in ADA, reaching 0.9% of the revenue from sales to final consumers. It's one more quarter with all the efforts of decreasing our default in historical levels, but in a positive trend. Now let's move on to slide 4. Here we are concluding DTO from CPFL Transmission. We launched this on the 19th of October. The auction will be held on the 18th of November. We also exercise the right of first refusal to acquire 3.4% of the shares of Enerca, CPFL Generation, and we increase our participation in the Campos Novos plant. We signed the Alegra project, the modernization of the Pacaembu Stadium with all the energy solution is the responsibility of CPFL Solutions, an investment of 70 million reals and a contract of maintenance and operations of 300 million for the next 15 years. That's an important project that shows the capacity of projects and execution of CPFL Solutions. And last, CPFL Energy got the prize, Best of Money, Melhores da Dinheiro, in SGG, in the Época Negócios among the utilities sector. Now, let's go to slide 5. I want to talk about our energy sales. So we had almost flat sales compared to 2021. Load in the concession area with a drop of 2% and the sales 0.2% decrease. When we look at the consumer classes, we can see residency with a drop of 2.3%. Here with the relevant impact of AGD with 2.3% and lower temperature with a negative impact of 1.5%. When we look at industry, we have some recovering, some resilience in growth with a hike in 3.2%, with some segments like food, rubber, with higher growth. And we see some signs of an uptake in the consumption in this area. The commercial class also continues with a recovery. In 2021, we had a relevant impact of the pandemic. So we have an increase here with the reopening of commerce in general, an increase of 5%. And in the other classes, we have a drop of 9.1. Here, we also have an impact of the GD, but an impact of the migrations, the limited impact in our results, but also due to the better hydrology. We have an irrigation reduction in the rural area in Rio Grande do Sul, which brings an impact of consumer reduction in this class. Now let's move towards the next slide. We can see the sales here in the 9 months of the year. This is a scenario very similar to the third quarter, stable sales of energy. This is our expectation to close the year. We should close practically flat with some recovery coming from industry, from commerce, but a relevant impact of AGD affecting the low tension clients. Now let's move to slide 7. I think here we have important information about the drop in defaults reaching 0.9 in our revenue. As I said, we have a historical average of 0.7. So we're still higher than the historical averages, but it shows a reduction trend. We have a scenario which is challenging, but I think some factors have helped us in this semester. One was the reduction of the tariff on average. This fell 20%. It dropped 27%. This brings a positive impact due to the reduction of the energy bill and also the hydric scarcity now with the yellow flag, and also with an important reduction for our final clients. We also see the economy and the glow in three, and we have an increase of real revenue. This affects the power of purchasing and the capacity to pay the bills internally. We're very mobilized in our billing. The main one is the cuts of energy. So we have a hike in cuts. This gives us more or less 232,000. It's much higher than the historical average before the pandemic. Of course, this brings a positive reflex to control lack of payment. Now let's move on to slide 8. This is also a good news with all the challenges that we have to control losses. We have here one more reduction of the global losses, 8.82 in 2021 and 8.55 this year. So our challenge and our mobilization and our engagement continues for us to be able to reduce even more the losses in the next 3 months. As for generation, here in slide 9, we have an expressive reduction of the PLD in this third trimester. This is due to the good hydrology that we've had in 2022, different to what we had in 2021. This also gives us positive reflex with an improvement of 41%, reaching 73% as we close this quarter. In the wind farms, we have a worse performance due to the weaker winds this year compared to 2021, But the good news is the availability of our aero generators, 96.4%, which represents an important improvement in the last years. We continue in this trend of improving the availability of our wind farms. Now we're going to move over to slide 10. I'm going to give the word to Mr. Pan to talk about the financial results. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. In this quarter, we reached an EBITDA of a hike of 14%. The distribution center had an EBITDA of 1.5. We had 2.3% increase. This is due to the actives drop that 380 million due to the low PSA. We also had an increase of 17 million. This was very much affected by the high inflation and also the higher costs for third parties. On the other hand, we had a higher gain of market and tariff, 206 million, especially due to the EPCI, IPCA. Another important effect is the margin of other revenues that had a gain of 66 million. Basically, the rental of posts, and they have contracts that are adjusted by the IGPM. The PDD was lower this quarter, 46 million, as Gustavo has already demonstrated in slide 7. In generation, the EBITDA reached 1.1 billion, a reduction of 11.2%. The main effect was gained with the GSF solution in the regulated market of 274 million, accounted for in 2021. There was also an impact of 55 million in wind generation due to weaker winds and an increase of 37 million in the expenses with PMSO and sectorial taxes. On the other hand, the updating of the prices of the contracts helped with 150 million. It's the lowest expense for GSF due to the higher volume of rains and the lower PLD. This contributed with 122 million. Other effects add to a loss of 42 million. The next slide, the transmission segment was the highlight with an EBITDA of 374 million. A good part of this amount is due to the consolidation of the transmission CPFL numbers with 279 million. The other transmission projects had a positive impact of 218 million. In the past, we had a negative effect due to the increase of the CAPEX. But this year, we have a positive effect in the contractual asset. These effects took place in the IFRS. In the trading services and others, we had an EBITDA of 14 million, impacted mainly by Comercializadora that presented the best result of 448 million. Other effects added to a loss of 3 million. Now, the next slide, we show the performance of the net profit, which was 1.4 billion during the period, a small drop of 1.2% in relation to the third quarter last year. The financial result, we had a worsening of 290 million due to the expenses with the net debt, the increase of 292 million due to the increase of the CDI and also a larger balance, a reduction in fines, 16 million after the adoption of the IPCA and no longer the IGPM, compensated by monetary updating with regulatory assets, 38 million because of the higher Selic. Other effects added to 17 million negative. The depreciation increased 83 million, and the taxes had an increase of 14 million. In the next slide, we show you the accumulated performance in the year. We reached an EBITDA of 8.5 billion, a hike of 27.8%. The result was due to the good performance of distribution, with an increase of the EBITDA of 26.2%, favored especially by the tariff readjustments. In the segment of transmission, we added 810 million, especially due to the consolidation of CPFL Transmission. In generation, there was a reduction of 2.2% due to the gain with the GSF solution in the free market, which was regulated in 2021, and the lower wind generation compensated by the contract readjustments. On the chart on the right side of the screen, you can see the performance of the net profit, which was 3.8 billion in the period, an increase of 9.1% in relation to last year. The increase of the EBITDA was partially compensated by the worsening of 1.2 billion in the financial results, impacted by the higher cost of the debt. The depreciation increased from 173 million and the taxes 108 million. On the next slide, on the left side, we have the cost of the debt, which is 13.8% below the second quarter due to the lower IPCA. In comparison to 2021, the increase is due to the variation of the CDI in the period, which below we have the profile of the gross debt, our higher exposure in CDIs with 70%, followed by 28% in IPCA and 2% TJLP. On the right side, at the bottom part of the slide, we have the cash at the end of the quarter, which was 4.3 billion, with a coverage rate 0.9x the short-term amortizations. The average amortization is a little over 3 years. On the top part, we have the net debt in the covenants criteria, which reached 22 billion. The EBITDA of the last 12 months totaled 11.4 billion. Therefore, the leveraging measured by the net debt over the EBITDA was 1.92x. I remind you that we will be paying the installment that is still missing from the dividends declared in April, 1.8 billion at the end of this year. Now let's go to slide 15. The CapEx was 1.6 billion, an increase of 72.4% in relation to last year. In the vision per segment, we had in distribution our main destination of the CapEx, a total invested of 1.3 billion, reinforcing the assets for tariff revisions that we will have next year. In the generation segment, we invested 58 million with the maintenance of projects that are ongoing and also the building of Cherobim. We also invested 155 million in reinforcements, improvements, and the building of our transmission projects. Finally, for the other segments, we destined 18 million. So in the accumulated of 9 months, we have 4.2 billion, which represents an increase of 57.4% in relation to the same period in 2021, with a highlight to the investments carried out in the segments of transmission and distribution. I thank you all for your attention, and I give the floor back to Mr. Gustavo. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pan. Well, we're here in the last slide where we show our commitment with the decarbonization, adhesion to the Global Compact of the UN with the ambition net zero. This is ambition of several companies that have come together. It's a reduction of 2 gigatons of CO2, and this has to do with everything that CPFL doing with our ESG agenda, several actions that we have to have more and more renewable energy, the reduction of our own emissions, and we formalize this commitment with a vision that we can also influence positively, other companies and the clients themselves so that we can have this strong and engaged movement in the reduction of CO2 in the world. Another important data, and this has been a focus of the company during the last months, is in the market of carbon credits. This is a market that has been growing, and the perspective of the growth is even higher in the next years. This is a potential new business for the company that can be relevant way forward. We already have here a revenue of 24 million reais in CPFL Solutions. We know that this market has a huge potential, whether it be our certification of new credits, whether it be the demand of the market with more and more companies purchasing these credits. This is something that we've been focused on with a very positive perspective. Okay, so I think that's what we had to say. I thank you all for your participation. I give the floor to Cyrino for us to open our Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gustavo. Thank you, Mr. Pan, for your presentation. We're now going to open the session of questions and answers. We're going to follow the order. I reinforce that the questions will be live, so you should use the button "Raise Your Hand," which is in the toolbar at the bottom part of the screen. And we have a first question here from Carol from Credit Suisse. Good morning, Carol. Thank you for your participation. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. The first is about GD. You mentioned in the presentation and also in the release about the impact that you've observed for the total consumption, how much this has deducted. Could you please, if you have, how much does GD represent of the total consumption of the CPFL concessions for us to have a real idea of what is the total impact of this in the consumption that you see net in GD? And also, if in fact there has been any acceleration of the participation of GD in the whole, because it wasn't something that you could notice so much, but this time the impact is very clear.
And my second question is about the allocation of capital and dividends. In the Investor Day, you mentioned that the company now feels more prepared due to the 100% of the incorporation of transmission within the group with very good results. And we have some auctions coming up to the end of the year and beginning of next year. And also the cash generation of the company is very positive. So we see it's more to have an idea of what appetite you have for these transmission auctions vis-a-vis the payment of dividends, which, as always, is attractive for the company. Thank you very much.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for your question. Let's go. First, about the GD, I think it's very clear that this year was an explosion of new clients putting GV. And today we have more than 17,000 clients a month. We're going to close next year with 6% of our load coming from this. So it's a very high number. We never imagined that this would happen in such a short time frame. But that is the photograph of 2022. There's been an investment and a migration of residential clients looking at regulation and the subsidies. And these end in the beginning of 2023. So there was a race for the installation of new solar panels. We've seen this discussion with a lot of apprehension, this delay of the subsidies because of the impact that it caused. We always compare this and with the low income. The expectation is that the low income subsidies will reach 15 million clients and it will cost around 3.4 billion reals. So we're going to AGD in the expectation, considering the numbers that we have today, 1.38 million in the whole of Brazil. This is going to cost almost 5 million reals. So it's a large difference, and it affects a lower number of clients of the distributors and high income clients. So it doesn't make sense to focus efforts on a type of subsidy that, besides getting a universe of a small universe, it reaches those with a higher income. So this is a preoccupation. I'm talking about the numbers today. So if we delay this, the size of the subsidy will be even, because we will have this migration of clients to distributed generation. For us, it's very clear that it's a natural trend. It's going to happen. It will happen. I think distributed generation has an important role in our matrix today. And it's very healthy and positive, clean energy, centralized. But it can grow and expand with its own legs without depending on subsidies that we know is for the captive clients, those ones that don't have resources, and the bill gets more and more expensive for those with a lower income. Let's move for your second question, allocation of capital. I think that we see some good opportunities in the next auctions. We have an auction in December now. So to which lots are we going to participate in? Also with good expectations for next year due to the volume of first, as a strategy, we have to have this with the payment of dividends
And we're able to do this, as you said, our leveraging, and we're going to have an impact of the payment of dividends, 1.8, as Pan mentioned, but it's a leverage which is structurally low and will allow us to continue to do two things, paying the dividends and dealing with good opportunities of growth. Now, the question always is our capacity of competing. We have financial discipline, which will also always have to do with the future investment. So if we don't have the capacity for a return, an adequate return, possibly we won't be able to buy any. So we have to do our homework, which is to monitor, identify good opportunities. We continue doing this, so we will participate, but always with this guidance, with the main focus on the positive financial return to our shareholders. Let's move to the second question. Marcelo Sá from Itaú. Thank you, Marcelo, for your participation. Go ahead with your question. Thank you for the call. It's about the revision of the physical guarantee that was published. We see a reduction of the plants that were analyzed, 3.5%. So I was looking here, the physical guarantee of CPFL plant, and there's a reduction. So I'd like to understand what you think. If this is the final number, and the other question is about the dynamics of the commercialization of energy. You've been very vocal about the prices of energy in the next years. And this vision was shown to be correct. So how do you see the price curve for the next years? What do you think about this? Thank you. Good morning. I'm going to answer the first question about the revision of physical guarantees. The public prosecutor has done this very much in line with what they published a month ago. The difference was the update of availability rates. So in the global, we pay a bit of what was published before, but within what was expected, considering all the premises that the ministry has adopted for this revision, there was no surprise in relation to the numbers that were publicized and that were discussed with the ministry. I think that's what I had to say about the first question. Let me know if I did not reply or if you need any additional information. No, I think that's very clear. And the other question was about the commercialization of energy. Well, good morning. I'm going to answer this part of your question. We have this call. We have more offer than demand projected for the next 5 or 6 years. We have a lot of premises inserted. So how will the generation expansion take place? But we see that the market prices converging. So lower than 100 reals megawatts hour is impacting
the price, different to what was negotiated 1-2 months ago, 140-145 reals for the forward, and the report has a certain delay in relation to what is negotiated to the market, but it has a lot of adherence to the prices that are being negotiated. So they still have the potential to drop, but it will depend a lot of what's happening in the hydrology in the meantime. So I think it's more associated to the short-term hydrology to be able to have a drop in prices. And this is going to have a dynamic. This will happen as the realization period gets closer. And if I could ask another question, the privatization and the thermal contract of energy, we had the first auction that took place, but it was only a part that was contracted and available in that auction. So I'd like to understand your vision. If you think the way the law is written, this part that was not contracted would never have to come back, or should it be offered in all the auctions, for example, the North Market, as an example? Marcelo, our understanding is that by the law, it has to be contracted. So I think these reserve auctions, which should happen soon, this is what we understand about the law. Thank you very much. Thank you, Marcelo. We have a third question. Guilherme Lima from Santander, thank you for your participation. Please move on with your question. Good morning, everyone. I was muted, sorry. I'd like to go back to the issue of dividends. Could you please comment if the leverage of the distributors is also comfortable to pay out 100% in 2022, or if you're going to exclude BNR to leverage the distributors? And the second question would be if you can comment a bit about the Amazonas asset. What challenges can you see in the operation and partners? How is it going to pan out? Hi, Guilherme. Thank you for your question. First of all, about the dividends, it's very clear that volume of investments, potential volume of investments, especially in the distributors, we have a higher potential, and medium long term, this will pressure the leverage of the distributors, remembering that we see this much more as an opportunity due to be an integrated company. We have the capacity to manage the cash funds to finance this investment, and we do this with the leveraging under control. But we will have some treatment with the distributors in time. One of the scenarios that we are discussing, as you mentioned, the BNR and ours to marry this with the VNR is an accounting effect. So this can be evaluated and discussed again. So I think we have a pressure to leverage short term that concerns us. we have comfortable leveraging where this additional volume of investments fits. So looking at the perspective long term, we see this as the upside, given the increment that we're going to have during the next few years. In relation to the Amazonas asset, I think it's an asset that is not, it has a series of challenges. It doesn't have to, anything to do with CPFL. So there's no interest of ours in looking at this right now.
Thank you.
We have no more questions now. So we will end our session of questions and answers. If there's any doubt or anything that you would like to clarify, we are available to clarify later. Before giving the floor back to Gustavo, I'd like to remind you that next week we have our first investor education. This would be 2 days of events in São Paulo. So if you haven't put your name down and registered, please and contact us. It'll be the 17th and the 17th, 2 days of events talking about this segment, the sector, etc. So if you haven't registered, do so. I'm now going to give the floor to Gustavo Estrella for the final considerations and to end this event.
Thank you, Cirino. Well, once more, thank you very much for participating in our call. I think once more, we present a robust result, a resilient result. We continue with the challenge of building results for the next year. We talked about investments, opportunities of goals. This is our target, balancing our capacity of generating dividends with assets that bring us return and value for our company and our shareholders, and also the assets that exist with additional investment. We continue our journey looking for opportunities of growth with the, controlling our expenses and maintaining our efficiency and our performance in relation to the results. That's our story. We hope to continue growing, telling the stories and growing in the same way. I thank you for your participation and your support, and have a wonderful day.